And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana University basketball news and discussion. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Podcast on the Brink is a joint production of the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. For complete coverage of IU basketball, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com. This episode of Podcast on the Brink is brought to you by Crane Credit Union. Get a $150 deposit into your new Crane Credit Union checking account when you get e-statements, have direct deposit, and use your debit card. Plus, there's no monthly service charges and no minimum balance to open your account. Stop in at any of Crane Credit Union's 14 locations or visit their website at cranecu.org for more information. That's cranecu.org. Crane Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA. On this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink, I cross a name off my IU interview bucket list. Victor Oladipo joins me and Alex Bozich to reflect on Victor's time at IU, provide his thoughts on Tom Crean's firing and the next era of IU basketball, discuss how things are going for him in Oklahoma City, and more. And of course, we discuss his upcoming basketball camp, which takes place June 19th through the 23rd in Greenwood, Indiana. More details are available at vicoladipo.com. Alrighty, well, this is a great conversation with a legendary Hoosier. I think you will enjoy it, and it is coming up on Podcast on the Brink. Hey, real quick, a word about this week's sponsor, SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events because with SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There really is nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have SeatGeek on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and like I just mentioned, with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats to anything that I want to go to. I actually used SeatGeek to buy tickets earlier this year to see Yogi play here in Dallas. I bought my wife concert tickets for the summer. So SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. They save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. Now, here's how to get an even better deal, which is Podcast on the Brink listeners get $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K today, and you'll get $20 back from SeatGeek. That's promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K. And now, on with this week's episode of Podcast on the Brink.
Hello?
Victor, welcome to the show, man. It's great to talk to you.
How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. This is Jared Morris. I'm here with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall.
How's it going, Vic?
How you guys doing? How y'all doing, man? How's everything?
We're doing well, man. Things are going really good. It's great to talk to you. How are you spending the offseason?
I'm actually in Florida right now working out. Just getting after it, really. Trying to get better. It's the biggest thing.
You know, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is, there are obviously a lot of guys who have similar physical profiles to you in terms of size and athletic ability, but, you know, obviously over the years you've passed them up to become an All-American, number two pick, you know, now a guy the Thunder are building around. What do you think has kind of separated you and allowed you to have the success that you've had?
I think the biggest thing is just my work ethic. Just always working, going through the college ranks. There's a lot of guys who, were ahead of me. A lot of guys who are more, more skilled than me. But I felt as though that I worked harder than everybody else. And when you do that, and when you put in the extra work, and you kind of separate yourself. You have no choice but to separate yourself because you have that confidence in your work ethic. And I think that's the biggest thing that separated me from everybody else.
Yeah, you know, and one common theme we kind of hear every year, you know, us as IU fans and media is, you know, people trying to identify the next Victor Oladipo, you know, the guy who is going to make it, you know, make a huge leap or kind of an unheralded recruit who blows up. Do you think it's good to hold players at IU to your standard, or do you think that's an unfair comparison to make?
I think that's a little unfair. Everybody's different. You know, everybody's path is different. Everybody's lives are different. You know, you could say maybe somebody could follow my blueprint, you know, it'd be something like that. But to be compared to me is kind of unfair. If anybody want to compare, try to compare yourself to Isaiah Thomas. I mean, he the best, probably one of the best, if not the best IU player to ever live. Him, Coward Cheney, you compare yourself to those guys. Me, on the other hand, I was trying to be like those guys. So, I mean, it's a pecking order to me. I feel like those guys are, you know, heralded and IU greats and guys when you come in, you should try strive to be like them. So, you ain't got to worry about it. I think, you know, you ain't got to compare yourself to Victor Oladipo. Try to compare yourself to the greats. And that's what I tried to do, and it turned out great for me. So you might as well do the same.
Vic, I think the first time we ever spoke was the fall of 2009, right around the time you committed to IU. You know, 8 years later now, you're, you know, 4 years into your NBA career. Could you ever have imagined at that point where you would be today?
I had a dream. I definitely dreamt of being where I'm at today, and dreamed about playing in the NBA and being a number two pick and things like that. But back then, you know, it was so small, you know, and I really didn't think it would happen. I kind of even surprised myself a little bit. But again, it all just had to do with how hard I worked. Back then, guys would tell you, my teammates would tell you, my coaches would tell you, I was a gym rat. I stayed in the gym. And I just wanted to do something bigger than myself and have my team winning. And that turned out great for me as far as my future and my career. So, no, to answer your question, no, I didn't think I would be where I'm at today, but I am. And it just solely because I worked hard.
What was the biggest adjustment for you going from Orlando to Oklahoma City? I know it was obviously you're going from a team that was rebuilding to a team that's expected to compete. I mean, what was the biggest maybe thing you had to get used to being there at Oklahoma City?
I mean, I think just like any new situation, just getting accustomed to everything, everybody around you. I got to relearn how to play with certain guys because I've never played with them before, whether it was Russ, Steven Adams, Andre Roberson, Damo, all those guys over there. So it's like, for instance, your first day, your first year at school, your first year at school. You know, your first day is different. You meet new people and everything, but that first year, there's a lot of ups and downs. You're still getting to know people, but after a while, then you just start clicking. So, I mean, that's probably was the biggest adjustment, just getting used to everybody and used to the environment and everything like that. But once things started getting going, I started getting more and more comfortable for the most part.
So, Victor, you've got a basketball camp coming up, as I mentioned to folks earlier in our show, June 19th through the 23rd in Greenwood, and people can get information at VicOladipo.com. What is your goal for the camp? What do you want the kids who come to get out of it?
I think the biggest thing is just show kids that we're just like them. You know, growing up, I know from a kid's perspective, it was kind of amazing to be surrounded by an NBA player or somebody you see on TV or what people may call a famous player. But our biggest thing is to show them that we came from where they came from. You know, we were just like them at one point in our lives. We were just little kids that had dreams. And my biggest thing to get from this camp is not only learn basketball and learn the ins and outs of basketball, but to also help them realize that they can do something bigger than themselves too. They can become doctors or basketball players or NFL players or lawyers or the president of the United States. Anything they want to do, they can really become it if they really just stay locked into it. So that's the biggest thing I want them to get from this camp. And also, it's going to be fun. Of course, you know, it's got to be fun too. But that's the biggest thing I want them to take away from it.
Yeah. When you when you're in Indiana, do you think you'll get a chance to get back down to Bloomington and check out how things are going down there?
I definitely plan on going down there and checking him out. Talked to coach already, so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully I get a chance to, you know, get down there and then play with those guys and, you know, see how everything's going out there. So I'm looking forward to that chance comes.
What are you, you said you got a chance to talk to coach. What did you guys talk about? What are kind of your thoughts on how everything's going this offseason for IU?
I was just, you know, just tell him congratulations. And I thought he was a great fit for us. And I'm looking forward to the season and seeing what the season holds. And if he needed anything, just let me know. I told him I'm coming out there and hanging out with those guys. So,
yeah.
Nothing crazy, just trying to get acclimated to him.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of the guys who played for Coach Crean will, you know, are going to stay supportive of the program and still be coming back to IU to help bring the new young kids up?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think Coach Crean will want that from us as well. Just to stay supportive is still our university, still our fans, still our classmates weren't there. We still weren't there. This university still did a lot for us. So we're still going to be supportive.
Yeah. Well, Victor, I know that you got a workout coming up, and so we want to be respectful of your time. You know, kind of as one of our final questions to you, as you look back on your time at IU, I mean, obviously there's so many memories that you created, you know, for fans like me. But what kind of memory sticks out the most to you, and what accomplishment from your time at IU are you most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of winning a Big Ten championship. It had been the first in a long time in IU. And for us to come in my third year and going through all we went through and win a Big Ten regular season championship was huge for the program. It was huge for us, especially coming from winning, 10 or 12 games my rookie year and then blowing up kind of sort of my sophomore year, going to the Sweet 16, coming up short and then coming back the following year and winning that was huge for us. And it was a very emotional game for everybody. And we had to fight in Michigan. And it was definitely probably the most memorable game I've ever played in. So it was, that's probably my biggest memory and my biggest moment and one that I'll never forget.
Vic, I've always wanted to ask you, when you look back at your time at IU playing in the Big Ten, what was the toughest road venue in your mind to go play in the Big Ten? Because it's always a debate among Big Ten fans who has the best home court advantage. I think IU fans like to think they have the biggest home court advantage. But when you went on the road, what was the toughest the venue you went into?
Man, Purdue was always crazy. Purdue was always crazy. That was probably the craziest. Very vulgar environment that I've ever been a part of. But I mean, IU probably, hands down, if I was an opponent, is definitely probably the hardest venue to play in the Big Ten. Just even being on the winning team, it was just sometimes amazing how loud that arena was and got. So, but if I had to choose, I'd probably say Purdue is really crazy and, my second would probably be Michigan State. Michigan State's always wild, too.
Yeah. So, Victor, you know, speaking of Assembly Hall and being loud and crazy, this is my last question for you, and this is one that a lot of people wanted us to ask. Obviously, you were part of maybe the greatest missed alley-oop in the history of college basketball against Michigan your junior year. Can you even fathom how loud it would have been at Assembly Hall if you and Jordy had connected on that one?
I probably would have been the loudest it's ever been. And I probably would have, I don't know, I probably would have lost my cool if I would have hit that dunk. So,
oh, man.
I mean, the fact that it blew up the way it did and I missed, I could only imagine what would have happened if I would have made it. Jordy just got to throw better passes, man. I tried to tell him, man.
we interviewed
better
him.
Better pass, I would have made it.
We interviewed him on a recent episode, and he said the same thing. So, who knows? Maybe you guys can someday reprise that and give it another shot.
Definitely. You never know.
Cool. Well, Victor, thanks a lot for the time, man. We know you have to get to a workout right now. But again, the basketball camp is June 19th through the 23rd in Greenwood. For details, go to VicOladipo.com. We wish you all the best, man, in your future in the NBA with the Thunder.
Thank
you. And we just appreciate everything you've done as a Hoosier.
No problem, man. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, Vic.
Thanks, Victor.
All right. All right. All right.
All right, Alex. Well, that was kind of cool. I have to say, ever since I started the Assembly Call and we started doing this podcast together, Victor's been one of the guys that I always wanted to interview. So that was pretty neat to get a chance to talk to him. I know you have before, but that was my first chance to talk with him. So
yeah, that, I mean, think about, I think for us, you know, as we build the podcast, and you know, I know it's a big deal to both of us that we continue to kind of grow the show and have good guests on and give good content to our listeners. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, just to have a chance to talk to a guy who just went through his, you know, fourth season in the NBA, played on his first playoff team in Oklahoma City, gets a chance to play with Russell Westbrook every night. And really, I mean, you look at the last 15, 20 years of IU basketball, I mean, he's one of the best players to put on the uniform, and a really great ambassador, really great guy to kind of have as you know, if the face, not the face of the program now, but somebody that kind of you can point to and say, hey, this guy came through Indiana when you're going out to recruit. So, you know, this it was a fun conversation, and appreciate Victor taking the time out of his busy schedule, obviously, to talk to us.
Yeah, no, me too. We had a little bit less time than we thought, so obviously, you know, there were a lot of questions we wanted to ask that we weren't able to. But I thought even in the time that we were able to talk with him, he really gave us a lot of good stuff. And I thought the most interesting answer was, you know, about comparing players to him, because obviously that's something that we all do. It's kind of a natural thing, you know, who's going to take the leap like Victor, and you know, what unheralded recruit can be the next Victor Oladipo. And I thought it was interesting that he basically bypassed himself and said, you know, look at guys like Isaiah, look at guys like Calbert, you know, compare yourselves to them because they're the greats, and that's what I was trying to do. And I think that's kind of a little window into the mentality and the work ethic and the humility, you know, that he showed as a player that helped him be great. So I thought that was a really interesting answer that he gave there.
Yeah, even when he, you know, got that, like had that junior year that, I don't want to say it came out of nowhere, but nobody really expected him to be an AP All-American, a finalist for the Wooden Award, number two pick. But even as that season went along, you never felt like he looked at himself any differently than anybody else on the team. He's just one of the guys. And even in that interview, just now talking to him, he's, as you know, I mentioned talking to him 8 years ago when he was, you know, just committed to Indiana. You know, this seems like the same person as he was then. You know, obviously he's grown, matured, become a man, and has a lucrative NBA contract to look forward to enjoying. But in terms of his personality and how he seems to treat people, doesn't seem any different than he was now. And that's not the case for a lot of guys who go on to have careers like he's having. And so I think that's a testament to his character and the kind of person he is, just that he's kind of, you know, that takes the time out to, you know, do these camps, obviously, and coming back to Indiana, it shows that, you know, he really cares kind of about, you know, the school, the state, and just, you know, getting involved with things like that. That's not all that common, I don't feel like, and with NBA guys of his stature.
Yeah, and it's nice to hear that he's planning on going back to Bloomington, that he's talked with Archie Miller. So I think that's maybe one thing you worry about when a coach gets fired is, will there be a rift between the players that were kind of loyal to him and the new guys coming in? And it sounds like, I mean, you know, certainly having Derek Ellison on the staff, I'm sure, helps. But it sounds like that shouldn't be an issue, and that there should be some continuity, you know, in terms of some of those guys like Victor, you know, kind of still being around, being interested in the program, and hopefully helping to pass down some of those ideals to the new guys, which you see at a lot of the big programs. You know, we often talk about Michigan State as an example of that, and as something that Indiana really needs to build. And so hopefully that's something. It certainly seems like Archie wants to build, and it seems like a guy like Victor is receptive to it. So I think that's something else, I think, to be encouraged by if you're an Indiana fan.
Absolutely. We saw the picture, I think it was in April, when he showed up at the EYBL, I think in Indianapolis, or it might have been one of the other sessions. But regardless, you know, Archie Miller was there, and they shared a handshake, and there was a picture taken. I think it kind of blew up on social media, but it's good to hear that communication has continued, and that he plans on getting down there this summer and having a chance to, you know, meet the new coaching staff and maybe work out with some of the guys and just kind of, you know, be around the program because he is an alum of Indiana University. Even though he is an NBA player right now and that's his primary focus, you know, it's very cool to see him still place a priority in coming back to Bloomington and Indiana and giving back to the state. So I think it's really good to have him around in any capacity this summer would be obviously a really good thing for the program, just to show guys kind of what it's like to work at that level and any advice that he can give to the current team, current players. I know he probably knows some of them already a little bit, some of the older guys like Robert Johnson, who was recruited when Victor was still there. Just to have him around even for a couple days would be awesome, I think, for the current players.
So a couple of quick hit questions for you here, Alex, as we wrap up and switch gears just a little bit. Obviously, since you and I last talked, we had the Huber's Winery event, and Josh Margolis was on with us last week and did a really good job, I thought, of providing some reaction to that and then also talking about what he saw out at the EYBL event in L.A. But you were there at the Huber's Winery event. What was maybe your one or two biggest takeaways from that event?
Well, the number one takeaway was the amount of people that were there. I've been going to that event really ever since I have been doing Inside the Hall in a full-time capacity. You know, it's close by where I live, so I make it a priority to go every year. And really, you know, it seems like it's the only one of those events that's kind of stayed on the schedule as like a priority for IU athletics to be at every year. I mean, there's been some other on the road tour events, as they call them, around the state that have kind of come on and off the schedule. This one, you know, stays at the same time every year. It's, you know, late May, early June, and every year the basketball coach is there. In the past, it's been Tom Crean. Now this is the first year Archie Miller was there. And you know, last year I think there was around 500, maybe a little bit more than 500 people there. And this year they had to cut it off at a little bit over 900, from my understanding. And you've obviously never been to the room there, but it's pretty much like a banquet hall. They have a lot of receptions there and different things at the winery. And I've never seen the room that packed. Been there plenty of times, and they had tables pretty much. There was really nowhere to stand for us media. You know, I had to. That's why when I recorded that audio of the speech, you know, I had to move around a little bit because I couldn't get good audio. It improved as it went along, but it was just, you know, packed from wall to wall of people, and the enthusiasm of these people for them to show up in those numbers in late May to listen to Archie Miller talk for 30 minutes about IU basketball just kind of shows the excitement around the program right now. So that was my first takeaway. And some of the smaller takeaways, I would say, you know, obviously the Deron Davis thing to me was a little surprising that he had gotten up to 271 pounds, but I think it's positive that he's really getting that under control and seems to be heading in the right direction with his conditioning.
In fairness, I gained about that much weight when I was a freshman at IU. So,
well, that's fair. Me too. And then also, you know, I think it was notable to me kind of which guys had decided to stick around, you know, for those 4 weeks when they didn't have to. I mean, I think Archie was pretty clear that, you know, any of those guys were kind of willing, had the option to go take a break, you know, recharge, and they've been through a lot. And you've got five guys that chose to take I think a couple of them, Curtis maybe took a couple of days, but then got right back at it. Robert, I know, took a little bit of time, but I mean, you had Robert Johnson, Juwan Morgan, Curtis Jones, Colin Hartman, and who's the other one? Deron Davis, all on campus for the first summer session, working out with the coaching staff and getting acclimated with Cliff Marshall, who I had a chance to meet down at Huber's as well. So, you know, I think those were kind of the main takeaways for me. Really, the main one, obviously, was the fan enthusiasm and the amount of people that showed up. Just kind of shows and validates that people were ready for a change.
Yeah, I was really – I've been excited to hear – coach talk about Curtis Jones, you know, and excited to see him stick around. I think he's such an important player next year and such an X factor because, you know, obviously he was huge in Indiana's most important win last year against Kansas, but was non-existent in so many others. But he's such a talented player, has so much ability, And I think he could really be a guy, if he makes a jump, could really change the complexion of how the team looks next year. And I'm starting to get more and more optimistic that it could happen. So obviously, you know, we need to see it on the court. But I think that's a guy that, you know, again, I think there's a real possibility of him really improving as a sophomore, which would be huge for Indiana. In terms of recruiting, anything notable to discuss? Obviously, you know, Josh has had a lot of reports from the EYBL event that everybody can check out at InsideTheHall.com. And then, you know, just last night, we're recording this on Wednesday, but just last night, the Indiana Junior versus Senior game, the juniors won. Obviously, a lot of, you know, Indiana targets in that game. Anything jump out at you over the past couple weeks on the recruiting trail?
It's been pretty quiet. Notable last night to me was that a couple guys talked that there's going to be a team camp at Indiana on June 24th, and that's not something that Tom Crean did. So basically what that is going to be like high school teams from around the state are going to come to Indiana that day and have like a team camp of sorts with the coaching staff, which I think is a good opportunity to kind of showcase your program. And Robert Finnessy talked about being at that. Eric Hunter, I'm not sure. Demezi Anderson mentioned a visit coming up to IU. I'm not sure if it was for just a, you know, unofficial visit or the team camp, but you know, I was really impressed with last night with Aaron Henry, the kid from Ben Davis, who I'll have highlights of at some point on the site here soon. But he's kind of being a little under recruited around the state, and I think he's got a little bit of Big Ten interest, but not a ton. But he's a name I think to watch as things move forward. And then obviously Robert Finnessy played pretty well. Eric Hunter, Musa Jallo, Demezi Anderson, those are all names that people are familiar with. But the juniors really were back on their heels at the beginning of that game, and the seniors looked like they were going to run away with it. Chris Wilkes was dominant early on in the game, did finish with 33 points, but just didn't really have enough help. You know, Malik Williams, the kid from Fort Wayne that's going to Louisville, dropped out of the All-Star games. He's not playing. Sasha Stefanovic, the kid from Crown Point, that's going to Purdue, wasn't there last night, and really – it was Chris Wilkes versus four or five guys at a lot of times, and it was a good win for the juniors. And afterwards, talking to them, they were excited about it. But you know, July is going to be a big month. You know, I feel like there's a lot of work to do in this 2018 class. I think new names are going to continue to emerge, and July is going to be a huge month in terms of you know, who the coaching staff watches and who they can kind of hone in on to get some visits set up for the fall in terms of official visits, and then getting some commitments as we get closer to the November signing period.
Last question for you. Any thoughts on what Indiana might do with their open scholarship for 2017? You know, whether it's a guy like Naz Carter or Moretti from Italy that came in for a visit. Do you have any insight there on where Archie might be leaning?
Yeah, my sense is that Naz Carter would be the priority over Moretti at this point. We'll see kind of how it develops. When Archie talked last week, he didn't seem married to the idea of filling the scholarship just to fill it. So I think if they're going to take somebody, it's going to be with the belief that it's somebody that can help the team next year. And so I think Carter at this point, with how he's played this spring in the EYBL, is a little bit more of a known commodity to the coaching staff, given the fact that they recruited him at Dayton. He's really played well this spring on the EYBL. His profile has kind of blown up a little bit nationally. So, you know, I would tend to think that he would be the higher priority at this point. I'm not aware of an official scholarship offer at this point from Moretti. I know he did come on a visit. He's just more of an unknown commodity to me at this point. You know, I've seen video of him, obviously, and I do know that just kind of looking at his profile in terms of where he's played in Italy, he's played with some professional teams, so I'm not sure what his status in terms of being eligible would be. I don't know how that works in terms of if you play in professional leagues. And I know a lot of guys come over playing from Europe and then play in college, but I know we went through the situation previously with Guy Marc Michel, who came over and wasn't eligible. And I know there's been other cases when guys have tried to come over and not worked out. And I'm not speculating that would be the case here, but I just think it would be a bigger long shot with a guy like that than Carter, who's more of a known commodity to me at this point.
And as we learned in this episode of Podcast on the Brink, if Naz Carter does end up coming to Indiana, even though he's a guy who's from the East Coast, a little bit under-recruited, really good athlete, don't compare him to Victor Oladipo. It's unfair.
Exactly. Do not compare him. Well, I mean, that's. I think that was a good answer by Vic. I mean,
yeah.
Nobody should be compared to coming in as the, what was he, like 144 in Rivals or 141, and then he's, you know, after 3 years, he's the number two pick in the draft. I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say we're not going to see that again. So, no. Well, I mean, we may see it in college basketball somewhere, but you're not going to see it in Indiana again. I mean, it just doesn't happen. That's kind of a once in a lifetime type of deal. And I think, well,
and the thing is, Lightning already kind of struck twice with OG, who kind of followed a bit of a similar, you know, path. So,
yeah, I think OG could have got. I don't know if he could have gotten to Victor's status, but. I think when we look back, you know, I don't know what he's going to turn into as an NBA player, but when we look back on this season, if he would have stayed healthy in terms of, you know, being able to, you know, finish out the year and put up some bigger numbers, I think in this draft he could have got a lot higher than he's going to end up going. It still seems like most of the projections have him middle of the first round, but, you know, if he was not injured and was able to showcase himself more, I think he could have gotten up there pretty high, which that would have been pretty incredible for him. I think he was somewhere in the 200s in the 24/7 composite. For him to go top 10 in the draft, but it would, like you said, Lightning kind of striking twice.
Well, you know, it's funny how different those two guys' times at IU were, you know, because OG obviously only spent 2 years, had those flashes of greatness, but, you know, his draft stock is almost entirely based on potential, whereas Victor's draft stock rose just because of his overwhelming production and just how much he did and, you know, how much he meant, obviously, to the success of the team. So it's kind of interesting, you know, the two different trajectories, although the basics of the story, you know, kind of under-recruited, really athletic, you know, worked hard to improve. Those parts of it are similar, but so many of the other particulars are different. But
absolutely,
both great Hoosiers in their own right. All right, well, this has been a fun episode. Good talking to you, Alex. Obviously, great, amazing talking to Victor Oladipo. One more reminder about the camp: it's the Victor Oladipo Basketball Camp, June 19th through the 23rd in Greenwood. For details and to register, go to vicoladipo.com and join us next week on another brand new episode. We'll be right here. Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. We always appreciate you being here. To get more from me and from Alex, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com for complete coverage of Indiana University basketball. If you liked this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or family member who loves IU basketball as much as you do. You can also support the show by leaving a rating and review on iTunes, which helps us get the word out to more IU fans like yourself. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode. Until then, as always, go Hoosiers.